Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McManus. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McManus and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
1 Samuel chapter number 2. Hallelujah. It's a sweet spirit in this place. I tell all our TV viewers that stop me in public and say they watch the program every week. I say, have you ever visited Word of God? No. Well, we watch you every Sunday. We DVR you. I said, well, look, you got to come because you can't meet the people on the TV. And what makes Word of God so amazing is the beautiful people that the Lord has gathered around His Word. And I hate the thought of someone following this ministry and not meet what's in this ministry, amen. So, Landon, tell you, I always tell people the same thing. You got to come. You got to meet these amazing, loving people that the Lord has brought under His Word. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, when you get there, just say amen. Amen. We're going to look at it in verse number 30, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. We begin a new series study. We're beginning a new series study this coming Sunday. And we're beginning a new series study tonight. I won't even tell you what's coming Sunday because you won't be able to concentrate on tonight. So I might call you Friday and tell you about that. All right. 1 Samuel 2, let's look at it in verse number 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, notice where he says, for them that honor me. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, if you want to be honored by God, and I'm going to show you what that means scripturally, then you have to honor God. But there's more to it than that, because I believe there are areas of our life where we might be honoring God and we're receiving the reward of His honor. But then there are other areas of our life that we're not honoring God and we're not seeing the benefit and the blessing of that. And so I'm hoping that this series is going to challenge you to search your own life and take inventory and say, okay, Lord, where am I not honoring you? How am I not honoring you? And this is going to be a rich, rich study. I'm excited about it. Let's pray. Father, in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your spirit. Come to lead and guide us into all truth. Thank you for your blood, Jesus, that forgives us and redeems us of all sin and iniquity, Lord. And we thank you that it is by your blood that we can come before your throne of grace and obtain mercy and help in our time of need. So I plead the blood of Jesus over this service and over your word today, God, and over all that will hear your word, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you would speak through me words that you would have spoken, that Lord, you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these, your people, your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated. We are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. We read before the prayer. Keep your Bible handy now. Read the sign when you came in. It's Word of God Ministries. Being here without a Bible is like being on I-20 without a car. So if you don't have a Bible, look over on your neighbor. But we read before the prayer in 1 Samuel 2. And I want to focus on this latter statement in verse 30 of 1 Samuel 2, latter part of verse 30. He said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God establishing a spiritual principle here that where honor is given to him, honor is received of him. Where honor is given to him, honor is received from him. What does it mean when we say honor? There's a lot that comes with that word, But let me just give you the basics to start with. Honor is a favorable regard, to be respected, to be favored, to be held in high esteem, or value, or appreciation. There's more to it than that, but that's a good start. When you honor someone, you commend them, you applaud them, you appreciate them, you let them know how important they are, but also honor means that that person is always walking in my favor and in my respect. How would you like the favor of God to be on your life in everything that you do? His favor is there, and he is showing you his favor in your life, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. That's available to anybody that will honor God. And I want to show this to you in order. And there's examples loaded in the Word of how we operate in the kingdom of God. Let's come over to Psalms 8, and I want to look at something in verse number 4. And this afternoon, I just prayed, and I was like, Lord, help me not to try to cram them with everything that I've been seeing on this subject for the past few months. I think we prepared this series several months ago. So it's been marinating. You see what I'm saying? It's been marinating. I don't prepare messages on Saturday night. I couldn't live with myself if I did that right there. I like to have that word ready and marinate. I've spent this week preparing for the next 6 months of what we're going to be going over and just praying over it and letting it get in me. That when I open my mouth, something will come out. Come on, somebody. Psalms 8, we see here the Lord's value invested in man when he created man. So much so that the angels begin to question God's mindset of man and how he would show this man so much favor. And so we see it in verse number 4. Well, we'll start in verse 3 so you can see it in its context. He said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. What is this man? This is echoed in Hebrews chapter 1. And Hebrews chapter 1 casts a little more light on it and really shows me, and you may not see it that way, but it shows me that it was actually an angel that made this statement, what is man that you're so mindful of him? The angels had existed with God before man, and when God made this man, it kind of struck the angelic host like, man, what is this? What is this man that you've made that you're so mindful of and that you visit? But notice what God had given man, verse number 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 1 tells us because of death and that angels do not die, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Read that latter part. And has crowned him with glory and honor. So one of the first gifts given to man was honor. One of the first gifts given to man was honor. Matter of fact, when you go back to the beginning and you look at the creation of man, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God made man, the Bible says that he gave them, male and female, he gave them dominion. Dominion. He gave them dominion over everything that would creep, crawl, swim, fly on the place of the face of the whole planet. He gave Adam and Eve dominion. Dominion is an important word because it is the second part of a compound word that every believer needs to be familiar with, and that is kingdom. Kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. When you use the word kingdom, you are talking about the king's domain or the king's dominion. So the kingdom of God is the domain of God. It's where the dominion of God is exercised. We are to pray, according to Matthew 6, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy, help me, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying, Lord, take dominion over my life. Take dominion over my life. I yield my life to you in humility. We're going to talk about humility in this series. I yield my life to you in humility, and I ask you to take dominion over my life and that your will be done in my life just as it is in heaven. And you've heard me probably illustrate this once or twice before, that you may have gone over somebody's house and the kids were acting crazy and there was all kind of stuff going on. And when you got in the car with your spouse, you said, now if that was my house, them kids wouldn't have been standing on top of that coffee table, right? But you didn't do anything about it because that wasn't your house. But you talked about it when you got in the car, that if that was my house. And you've had folk in the beauty shop say, now let me tell you, if that was my husband, come on somebody. But that's not your husband, so we don't need to hear that right there. And we know what happened to your last three husbands, so we don't need your advice right now. Oh, Lord, heaven, Jesus. So, when you talk about dominion, when you talk about kingdom, it is the domain where the king exercises his dominion. Now, there can be no delegation of dominion where there is no honor. In other words, I can't honor you with dominion, with power, authority over anything when you're not honorable. Because if I give a dishonorable person dominion, they will abuse the authority that I gave them. It'd be no different than you. I remember this. I'll give you this example. When I was 16 years old and driving, and my mom and dad gave me this strict curfew, I was like, I liked the curfew better when I was on a bike, because I could stay out later on a bike than I can this Volkswagen. And so, you know, I had this little baby blue Volkswagen Beetle, and so I had to be home. It seemed like, I don't know, ridiculous time, 6 or 8. I was like, okay, just give me my bike back. You know, I'll see you at midnight. But I didn't. And so I was home when the curfew came. And then one day I was heading out somewhere, and I asked my daddy, what time do I have to be home? And he said, you'll know. And I said, but what time? He said, I trust you'll know. I said, but daddy, give me a time. He said, you'll know. I said, you're not gonna give me a time? He said, I think you know. I said, well, is it the time that I've been having to get home? He said, you're gonna know when it's time. And I could not understand that. And my sister's on the back row over there, she knows how my daddy was, that's kind of scaring me. But what my daddy was doing is he was testing me to see what would I do if he gave me greater honor. And so if he gave me the liberty to set my own time, what time would I get home? I think I got home earlier that night than I had any other time, because I didn't want to mess this thing up. I like the idea of not having a curfew. But I believe the Lord works with us the same way, in that he can't give you dominion over anything if you're not going to be honorable. So the lack of honor that we have toward God and toward man is going to be the determining factor on how much domain we get to exercise dominion over. Does that make sense? So if you look at the area of your life where you are honoring God, you're going to see great growth and success and blessing. You look at the area of your life where you are not honoring God, you're going to find yourself limited, because he can't give you the keys to a car that you're not going to honor him with. He can't give you things that you would dishonor him with. So your amount of honor is going to determine the authority that you exercise within his domain. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You cannot separate honor from dominion or from the kingdom of God. Honor is the currency of the kingdom. It is how exchanges are made in the kingdom of God. If you want to receive of God's kingdom, you've got to honor his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. God is saying, when you honor the kingdom will honor you. There are perks, there are benefits, there are blessings that can come from the kingdom of God, but you've got to first honor the kingdom of God. You cannot receive from any person you will not honor. It doesn't matter how packed that individual is with knowledge, wisdom, or resources that God would like to pour in your life. The moment you look at a soul and you say, I will not honor that person is exempt. They're excluded from blessing your life. That's why I'm going to show you in this series, we are to honor those in authority above us so we can receive. We are to honor our peers, those that are beside us, so that we can receive. And we are supposed to even honor those that are beneath us so that we can receive. When we stop honoring, no matter whether it's above, beside, or beneath, we cut the flow of God's blessing in that area of our life. You cannot receive of God where you are not honoring God. And there's not a greater example of this in the Bible than the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's do this. Let's come over into the New Testament. And matter of fact, I'll tell you what I want to do. Yeah, let's go to the New Testament. I want to show you some examples of this. Let's come over to the New Testament. And I want to go to Mark 6. Now, I want to show you an example, many examples, that we see in the ministry of Jesus where honor was given to Jesus, honor was received of Jesus. Where honor was denied Jesus, Jesus denied honor. You literally get out of what you put into. And I'm going to show you this, how this relates to your relationship with God. And I want to show you how this relates to your relationship with others. Because the first commandment in the Bible that has an attached promise to it, that if you do this, you're going to get this. The first commandment in the Bible with an attached promise is the commandment that we're given that is echoed in Ephesians 6, 1, honor your mother and father. And if you honor your mother and father, the Bible says it will be well with you and your days will be long upon the earth. It's the first commandment in the Bible that has a dividend, a reward, a response attached to it. Honor your mother and father. It's going to be well with you and you're going to live long on the earth. God so wanted children to understand the principle of honor, he made it the first commandment in the Bible that had a response attached to it. I know you say, well, I thought in there he said, don't eat of the tree lest you die. He did. I'm talking about something good. It will be well with thee, and you will live long on the earth. A good promise attached to honoring your mother and father, because the first place that we have to learn honor is in the home. And if children don't learn how to honor in the home, then they won't leave the home in honor. And when they don't leave the home in honor, we see the results of it in society. So God knew that whole principle of honor had to begin to operate in the home. And so he put great emphasis on it when in the Ten Commandments, he gave one commandment that had a promise, honor your mother and father. Where you give honor is where you receive. The Bible teaches that marriage is honorable. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. There are rewards that come from being married and honoring God with marriage. And there are a lot of folk that won't get married but want to act married and wonder why it's not working. It's not working because you didn't honor God with that relationship. And since you didn't honor God with the relationship, he can't honor the relationship. But the moment you start honoring God in the relationship, now he can honor the relationship. There are things that God wants to do in your marriage through your husband. Okay, that's two. But if you won't honor your husband, God can't do it. There are things that God wants to do in your marriage when you'll honor your wife. But if you won't honor your wife, he can't do it. I want you to see how big this topic is that once you decide you're not going to give an individual honor, the honor that God has called you to give, you have cut that person off from being used by God to bring blessing to your life. They are cut off. They can't do you no good. That's why you can't be setting up under anybody you wouldn't honor. Because it's a waste of time. If I'm your pastor and you're going to honor me as your pastor, then let me speak the word. But if you said that, man, what are you talking about? Then you'll never get anything from me. The guy next to you may get something, but you won't get nothing. You got to go where you can honor what's being said. Because if I don't honor what's being said, I can't reap the benefit of the one saying it. Y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? I'm going slow now. I'm trying to honor the Lord because I felt like he said go slow. All right. Watch this in Mark 6 because there's nothing like seeing examples of it. Mark 6. And listen, because you know the enemy will come in here and say, they don't deserve no honor. But you honor people because God told you to. Whether they deserve it or not. You do what you do to man as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And then now the Lord will work on them. All right, now watch this in Mark 6. And we'll start in... Verse number 3. So Jesus here is doing these great and mighty things. You read that in verses 1 and 2. But watch verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And aren't not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended because Jesus was doing these great and mighty works, and they were like, you're just like one of us. You ain't nobody. So they didn't give Jesus any honor because they grew up with him, and they felt like they knew him. And so he's doing these great things under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came on him, according to Luke chapter 4, after his baptism, but they will give him no honor. They say, ah, it's Joseph's son. He grew up with us. That boy ain't nothing. Now watch verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Isn't that the truth? The closer you get to folk, the harder it is for them to honor you. But watch this, verse 5, because they would give him no honor, watch verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, say that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So now Jesus is not able to do mighty work because they would not honor him. So the work that would have come to that town did not come because there was no honor given to the one that God was using to bring healing and deliverance to that town. Can you see it there clearly? Now, if you go back and read, you find that the reputation of Jesus was mighty works. Watch verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? Now read the rest. That even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. So they knew that he had done mighty works. They knew that wisdom was coming out of his mouth. But then they came back behind that and said, oh, that's just that boy, the carpenter. And they gave him no honor. And the very thing that they had said and credited him with, the mighty works, verse 5 says he could do there no mighty works. It didn't mean he could not do mighty works. Notice the reading of the scripture in verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Read that out loud and emphasize the word there. Ready? Read. And he could there do no mighty work. It wasn't that he couldn't do a mighty work. He just couldn't do it there. Why couldn't he do it there? Because they wouldn't honor him there. Where no honor is given to God, no honor can be received from God. Now, let me show you another example of this. Because this gets heavy. Go to Luke 5. Luke chapter 5. How do we not know that God doesn't strategically place us in a position where he can honor us, but we first must pass the test of honoring? I just wonder, how many of us have failed the honor test and didn't receive of the Lord because we gave no honor? You know, if you say during worship, well, it's not that big a deal, I'm just going to get there late, or I'm going to sit in my car because I don't get nothing out of that. Don't worry, you never will. And it won't have anything to do with Jeremiah. And it won't have anything to do with who's singing or who's on instruments. It won't have nothing to do with none of that. It's because you won't honor. And when you don't honor worship, you'll get nothing out of worship. But if you'll honor worship, you can get something out of it. So the person said, well, I don't like all that. Well, don't worry. You'll get nothing out of it no way. So, you know, you sit in the car because you wouldn't get nothing if you was in here. Because you can't receive where you won't give honor. There has to be a respect of the things of God. If you looked at reading the Word of God daily and said, I don't have time for that, you don't worry. You won't get nothing out of it. You cannot get from God when you won't honor him. Is this making sense what I'm trying to say to you? If you come to this church and you sit back and say, I don't want that man talking, then I can't help you. I can't help you whatsoever, because if you don't honor the platform and the office that God's got called the pastor to fill in your life, because I've met people, they say, well, I don't need a pastor. You can't receive of one then. You live your life without the benefit of that because you won't give honor to that. I don't need church. Well, then you'll never reap the benefit of why God implemented the church. Where you won't honor God, don't worry, there he won't honor you. Your mother may have given you the counsel that could have saved your life, but you wouldn't listen to your mama. And so now you find yourself, man, mama always told me, but didn't do you no good because you gave no honor to her. I'm preaching now up in here. Your daddy tried to tell you, wouldn't listen to your daddy. And now way on down the line at his funeral, you say, I wish I'd listened to my daddy. You didn't give him no honor, so therefore the advice he had could not work in your life. It is a simple, but it is a spiritual principle that where I'm not giving any honor, I'm not going to receive any. Now, watch this in Luke 6. And when you get there, just say amen. See, some of you, what did I say, 5? Well, let's start in 5. Luke 5. But look at y'all trying to be honorable and jump over to that 6th chapter. Come on, somebody. but watch this. Watch this beautiful example. And I was going to say this, and I'm going to say it. Some of you have not received promotion. You've not been exalted. You've not gotten the pay raise you could have got because you won't honor nobody where you work. All you do is dog out the employer, you dog out the supervisor, you dog out the folk you work with, and then you go up in there and work and frown at everybody and have a bad attitude and collect your check and go cash it on Sunday or Friday or whatever day you get paid. And then now you wonder why you can't go nowhere in that company because you want honor. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm working with a bunch of heathens. Don't matter. Where you do not show honor, you cannot receive honor. And wait till we talk about David, who honored Saul, an evil king. He still honored him until his day came. And what did God do through that honor? He made David king instead of Saul. Because David made it up in his mind, I'm going to pass this honor test. I'm not going to let this man get me out of honor. And as long as he's in this seat, I will honor that seat even though I don't like that man. Oh, my goodness. And what did God do? Took him all the way to the top. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. Luke 6, or is it 5? Okay, 5. We'll go to Luke 6 in a minute. We got to go to Luke 6. That's twice I've tried to go there. Watch this. Luke 5, and we'll go to verse number 17. Now, watch the wording carefully. Watch the wording carefully. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were, as he was teaching, you know, a lot of folk that would have never listened to Jesus because he was a teacher. There's folk that won't preach him, and there's folk that won't teach him, but you need to want whatever the anointing is pouring out. Because there are times the Lord's going to anoint me to teach, there are times he's going to anoint me to preach, but the preaching goes over better when you've had teaching. You can preach to people that have been taught. You can't preach to people that have not been taught. There has to be a mixture. That's why I call myself a treacher. Come on, somebody. But watch this in verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. And in other words, a lawyer in this day is one that is a master in the law of Moses. Okay? And so they know in their mind everything this man's teaching. It'd be like somebody setting up under some teaching saying, I done heard that. I know that already. I've read the Bible. I went to seminary. I know all this. All right. So, and I'm not saying seminary. Seminary is a wonderful place. So, amen. Here we go. So he was teaching, and there were some doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee. Watch verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Read that part out loud. Ready? Read. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, they're masters of the law. The word tells us that they actually only watched him and listened to him so that they could accuse him. So let's go to chapter 6, verse 7, and let me show you what I'm talking about, and then we'll back up into chapter 5, and you'll see why I kept saying Luke 6. So go over to verse 7 of Luke 6. Can y'all hang with me here? It's Bible study. Come on, somebody. Verse 7. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him. So they were in attendance. But why were they there? They watched him, read it, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, read it, that they might find an accusation against him. So the only reason they even showed up at the synagogue was to try to catch him in something false. They tried to catch him in some kind of trap. So they're sitting back listening to everything he's saying, but the only reason they're listening is to see whether or not they can find him say something that's false. So they're in attendance, but they're not honoring him because they're only hoping they can find something against him that they can run out of the synagogue and say, he said this, he did this, that's not lawful, that's not right, he took that verse out of context. And see, that's the only reason they're there. They're there trying to find wrong. Can everybody see that? The sad thing is, go back to chapter 5, latter part of verse 17. Read it with me again, the latter part. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So despite their scrutiny, despite their critical spirit and their judgmental attitude that led them to show up to hear Jesus talk only so that they could find fault with him, despite all of that, God in heaven looked down and saw that these Pharisees needed healing, that these doctors of the law needed a healing. In other words, they had issues in their own life that they needed healing and deliverance and the power of God to manifest. They had need spiritually, mentally, physically. They had need for physical healing. And they show up at the synagogue where Jesus is speaking and the power of the Lord is present to heal them. But we read in the next chapter, the only reason they're even there was so that they can entrap Jesus in his words and find something wrong with him. Now, wouldn't it be bad that I showed up at a place where the power of the Lord was present to heal, but all I'm doing in my mind is trying to find what's wrong and what ain't right, and that ain't right, and I don't like that right there. And now I put myself in a position of not being able to receive my healing because I wouldn't honor the atmosphere where the word of God was going forward. Can you see that? So the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It didn't say the power of the Lord was present to heal. It was present to heal. But notice, it was present to heal them. So God said, I know you need a healing and I got it for you. But guess what? When they wouldn't honor the Lord, God could not honor them with their healing. Wow. So if I said to you, and you had something going on, and I said, you know what? I said, we're going to pray and believe God to heal you. And then let's say you said back, well, I don't believe in that. I can't help you. If you won't honor him as a healer, then you're not going to reap the benefit of his healing power. You cannot receive from God if you won't honor God. You would actually handicap the blessing of God in your life. You know, and you say, man, I'm struggling, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Listen, I'm going to pray that the Lord make you the head and not the tail and bless you to be above only and not beneath. And you're going to be a blessing because he delights that you prosper and be in health. Well, I don't believe all that. Money's the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, I don't believe that God is worried about my finances. You don't think he'll bless you? No, I don't believe in all that. I can't help you. See, if you won't honor the promise of God, if you won't honor God, then you can't receive of God. These Pharisees needed healing, but all they're trying to do is find something wrong. And God could not do it. Let me keep reading to you. Verse number 18 of Luke 5. And behold, men brought in a bed a man that was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. They can't get to Jesus because of all the Pharisees and doctors that are there to find criticism. But here's a man laid out on his bed that believed if I did get there, I could be healed. But he can't get in there because folk are all around that's trying to entrap Jesus in his words. Oh, but look what happens when somebody says, you know what? I'm going to honor the gospel. I'm going to honor the word of God. I'm going to put faith. They're going to now walk in the benefit and the blessing, the response of God. Do you know one of the names of God? I'm about to get stirred up in this place. Do you know one of the names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Gamola? Say that one time. Jehovah Gamola. It's spelled Jehovah and then G-M-O-L-A-H. And it means God of recompense. God of recompense. The Lord God of recompense. In the New Testament, it means the Lord God, our rewarder. The Lord God, our rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says this. Put that in your notes. Hebrews 11:6. It says, he that cometh to God, number one, must believe that he is God. Number two, must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You cannot just believe he's God. You've got to believe that he will reward them that seek him. That's the benefit. That's the blessing of honoring him. You cannot just believe he's God. You have to believe that he recompenses and that he rewards or that he responds to his word. Hallelujah. Well, watch this in verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Man, they opened up the roof and lowered him down through the ceiling to get him in there. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. But wait a minute. That man wanted healing. And he done got dropped down through this roof only to hear Jesus say, you're forgiven. Now, I don't know whether that man got happy about this or not. I don't know whether he got in there and said, I need forgiveness. I want to walk. But the Lord knows what he's doing. Because remember, the Pharisees and the doctors are present to find something wrong. So Jesus is going to give them a little something. Hallelujah. So he really messed with them when he looked down at this man that was brought in there for a healing and says, man, your sins are forgiven. Here we go, verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? He finally gave them something, and boy, they're going to town with it. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. He said, which one's going to put sweat on my brow? If I say you're forgiven or if I say get up and walk? Which one is harder for me, to forgive or to heal? Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. In other words, I want to prove to you that I have the power to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. In other words, he said, let me show you that I do have power to forgive sin, and he healed. Now they had something yet else to talk about, that he had healed this man. Now, the reason Jesus forgave the man before he healed the man was because the ideology of this day, and you see it throughout the Gospels, was that if you were sick, it was because you had sinned. That was the doctrine of the Pharisees. If you are sick, then you have sinned. That was their ideology. That's why when the man born blind, y'all remember the story? The man that was born blind? Come on, somebody. Y'all read about it? If you hadn't, read it when you get home. But there was a man born blind. And Jesus meets this man born blind and opens his eyes. And the Pharisees got all beside themselves over Jesus having healed this man born blind. And the disciples, having been infected by the doctrine of the Pharisees, they even asked Jesus, if the man was born blind and any disease or any infirmity or sickness is the result of sin, and the man was born blind, they asked Jesus this question. They said, who did the sin then? Who committed the sin if the man was born blind? Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin that led him to be blind? And Jesus had to correct that ideology that the sickness and the blindness did have nothing to do with sin. That sin does not lead to sickness or blindness or any type of handicap. That was the ideology of the Pharisees. But what it does is it opens the door to why they were there and would not receive their healing. They would not receive their healing in the presence of Jesus because they wouldn't let it be known that they needed healing. Because to let it be known that we needed healing according to their own theology would mean I have to confess that I have sinned, and they weren't willing to say in front of Jesus that I have sinned by receiving any healing. You see it? So now, because they wouldn't put themselves in a position of need, they were not able to receive. Their lack of honor to the Lord prevented the honor of the Lord giving them exactly what they needed. How many times have you been in a position where God could have met your need, but you wouldn't be humble enough to admit that you had one? It might have been an altar call. It might have been a raising of a hand. There was something the Lord did that you could have stepped out on and said, yes, I have need of this, but for the sake of pride or arrogance or self-righteousness, you stood back, stayed silent, and was not able to receive of the Lord because you wouldn't put yourself in that place of humility. That's heavy right there. So they didn't receive their healing. And they didn't receive it all because they wouldn't acknowledge they had a need for what this man was offering. They would not bring themselves to need the ministry of Jesus. Boy, that's heavy right there. Now, let's go. Y'all got room for a little bit more? Hallelujah. The Pharisees, matter of fact, we'll come over to chapter 6 again. And you see it here in verse 7. They watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath that they might find accusation against him. So there's no reason they're there. I'll show you another example of that. Go to Luke 20. Luke 20. All right, watch verse number 20. We'll start in verse 19. And the chief priest and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, faking it, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. So they're hanging around Jesus just so they can entrap him because they wanted to get rid of him. So they're trying to entrap him with his words. But let me show you something that another man does. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. Hallelujah. Matthew 8. I had a man about a year or so ago approached me that had been visiting Word of God. And he said to me that he had been visiting Word of God because out of curiosity, because he had entered into a forum of people in this city that had begun to meet talking about what they were going to do about me and Word of God Ministries. Because they didn't like our growth and this, that, and the other. So they would start having these little forums. And so he was a part of that forum. And isn't that just pitiful? And so he said he came out of curiosity to see why there was so much hatred. And you know what he did? He converted and became a member of the church. Said, man, he told me that. Lennon, were you standing there when he told me that? I said, man, come on, somebody. What you say? So we know, don't be intimidated by the spectators and all those that's trying to cast judgment, because you never know. They might walk into something one day, hit them. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the love of people. Amen. Now, let's go to wherever it was I told you. What did I tell you? Matthew what? Matthew 8. And I want to go down to verse number 5, Matthew 8, because the Pharisees and these doctors, these masters, they were just trying to entrap Jesus at his words, just so they could have something to run back and accuse him with. Gave him no honor. He couldn't do any work in their life. We're seeing a pattern of that. Now watch Matthew 8, verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, that's a Roman, beseeching him. So he's not a Jew. This is a Roman centurion. He's a part of the Roman army. And he comes, he's like the Roman security that's been watching all this. You see, it wasn't like he went to the synagogue. But he watched those that went in and how they came out. Come on, somebody. He had seen the ministry of Jesus. He had seen blinded eyes open and devils cast out and the dead raised. And he wasn't even in the assembly. He's just spectating. But he knew the Lord had power. And so this centurion beseeches him, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I love the heart of God. He's always coming to us. No matter what position we're in, he's coming to us. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. I don't have the worth. I don't have the honor that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, notice this man put Jesus in such high regard and himself in such low regard that he said, I'm not even fit to have you come under my roof. So he's elevated Jesus in high reverence, and he has humbled himself and said, but look, you can say it, and I know whatever you say will happen. Compare that to the Pharisees that are only sitting back to see if they can catch Jesus say something that's false. And the only reason they want to catch Jesus say something that is false was because they were intimidated by the success of the gospel and they wanted to hinder the work of his ministry. Contrast that now with this centurion Roman soldier who says, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but I believe if you say it, you will have what you say. Verse 9, he said, for I am a man under authority. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now watch the wording. I am a man, read it, under authority. What does that mean, under authority? That means he has a superior. He's got somebody speaking over him. He said, I'm under authority. Oh, this is so good. Watch this. He said, I'm a man under authority. See, it took a Roman soldier in the army to be able to understand what Jesus was trying to do. He got it when the other folk didn't get it. He said, because I'm under authority. And because I'm under authority of the Roman kingdom, watch this. He said, I also have soldiers where? Under me. He said, I'm under the Roman kingdom, and soldiers are under me. Watch it now. And I say to this man, watch, go. And what does the man do? He goeth. But why does he go? Is that man just that big and bad? No, he's under authority. See what he said? He said, I'm a man under authority. Whose authority? The kingdom of Rome. He said, therefore, since I'm under authority, I can tell those under me, go, and they go. Why? Because they know I'm under authority. They know I have the authority of the authority to tell them to go, so they go. If he were not under any authority and the man said, go, man, ain't going nowhere. What you gonna do? But if he's under authority, then he can tell that man to go, and that man's got to go, because if he doesn't, there are consequences to the authority that he's under. The man is actually saying, I recognize, Jesus, that you are under authority, and that the authority that you are under is the authority of God. Therefore, I know whatever you say, God will back it up. See, he understands it. He's honoring it. But the Pharisees gave no honor to Jesus. Why? Because they didn't want to. They did not want to believe that he was of God. And since they wouldn't honor the Son of God, they could not receive the honor of God. Oh, man, that's heavy. So he said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. See, he's recognized. They ain't doing that because of who I am. They're doing that because I'm under the authority to do that. Wow. So that's why I want to get up under the authority of God. I want to get up under the honor of God and call the thing that be not as though it were. And wonder and look back and see God manifest his word in my life as I speak it. And I say, man, did you see that? The Lord, and I take him at his word. And then I begin to speak his word over my circumstances. I speak his word over my life. It may look like I got power. No, I'm just under the authority of the one that has the power to speak that in my life. Hallelujah. You see how that works? Folk tell me a long time ago, I'd be speaking the word of my life. And they said, you can't just speak the word and think it's going to happen. And I had a preacher tell me, he said, God is sovereign. And I was young in the faith, and I don't even know if I knew what sovereign meant. But he was telling me to stop speaking the word of my life, that you couldn't just speak the word because God was sovereign. And I said, what does that mean to you? He said, that means God can do anything he wants to do, and you can't just declare his word. God is sovereign. He does what he wants to do. I said, but can he lie? Man, look back at me and say, no, he can't lie. I said, then all right, then I'm going to keep speaking his word. Because he said, I'm not a man that I should lie. What I spoke, I'll make good. What I said, I'll bring to pass. There is an honor that we've been given according to Psalms 149, an honor that to declare his written word. And when I'm under the authority of God, it's not my authority that's making things happen in my life. It's his authority that's making things happen in my life. That's why, oh my goodness, I wish I had all night long. That's why Jesus gave the church the keys to the kingdom and said, now what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, but you've got to bind what heaven wants bound, and you've got to loose what heaven wants loose. You can't bind what heaven wants loose, and you can't be loosing what heaven wants bound. Because when you do that, you're dishonoring God. Who said that? Man, you stirred me up right there. There was an anointing on that right there. See, oh my goodness. You can't even do something in the name of the Lord and it work if it doesn't honor the Lord in the act. You see what I'm saying? I sat in a service one time where there was this praise team that came out and ministered. And it was all ladies. And they were wearing spandex from top to bottom in a church. And y'all, I'm glad y'all laughing. I was almost crying. And yeah, there was some hype. But in my mind, I was just trying to keep myself occupied because I was not going to look at these ladies that were not modest at all. And so even though you have to say, man, how honorable, they're using their gift to dance before the Lord, not dressed like that, not with that man on a second row that's trying to break the spirit of lust, and now he's meeting it right there in the church. So you might do it for the Lord, but that doesn't mean it's going to get the blessing of the Lord on it. That's why some folk have sung that solo, and man, that thing came out so pretty, but there was no anointing on it because it was all about self-glory and self-gratification, and God said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Yes, you did it for me, but you will not be honored by me because it didn't go through you to me. Ah, y'all I'm trying to get this to you. Man, What we do for the Lord has to be done in honoring the Lord. Because if you don't honor him when you do it, you won't have his power flowing through you to the person that you're trying to touch. My goodness, come on somebody. Now watch this. Where am I at? What verse mean? Okay, so verse 9, he said, I'm a man under authority. I believe we have read that and missed that major statement, because we see the man saying, if you say it, he'll be healed. But the man understands Jesus will have what he says because of the authority that he is under. I got to wrap this up. Watch this. He said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. See, I was in Dallas one time preaching a conference. I'm going to quit here in a minute. It's summer. It's summertime. See, I got to honor him. I quit when I don't feel like that no more. But I won't quit then. I may never quit. But we're going to just do what the Lord wants to do. Let me finish this. I was preaching a conference in Dallas for our radio listeners, and a pastor friend of mine called me up, and he said, I got a music minister in my church. Would you let him come and minister tonight? And I said, yes, you know, he can come minister. And I didn't know the backstory, nothing. I just loved the pastor, and I said, yeah, bring him on. So the guy got up, and I told him, we met up front, and he was going to sing two songs, because we'd already had our worship, and he was going to come do these two specials, and I was going to preach. We done rented this conference hall and spent money and invited all our radio audience to be there. Sister Rose is nodding her head. She was there, know what I'm talking about. Sister Rose, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. She know every word I'm saying. She was there. And so the guy got up there, picking and a grinning. He was so glad to have him an audience and a guitar and a pick. Man, he just sung. And then when he got up, he said, the pastor said two songs. He said, but I just say whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Is that what he said? I said, oh, no, we're in trouble now. So he did two songs, and then he did three. And then he said, I know the pastor said two, but the Spirit's moving. Let's go to four. And I grabbed this pastor. I said, do something with that man right now. We didn't come up here to have his little personal concert. I said, if you don't get him set down, I'm going to do it. I'm about to turn his mic off up here trying to take over. Now, you say, how do you know the Holy Spirit did not move on that man to disrupt the order? Because God does not ever operate in dishonor. He will never operate in dishonor. That's why Jesus said, when you go into a house, don't sit in a reserved seat. Take the back seat, even if you think you're worthy of the reserve seat. Take the back seat and let the authority of the house move you to the reserve seat. But don't take the reserve seat and then get put out of the reserve seat because you didn't respect the authority of that house. So there was no anointing on any of that because the man did it for himself and didn't honor God or the authority of the house when he did it. Oh, this is heavy. Now watch this, because I'm almost done here. So verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, we're going to pick this up later, because there's some more heavy stuff that comes out. But what I want to do is I want to show you exactly what Jesus is talking about. Let's go to Matthew 10. We'll wrap this up. Just choose to be honorable. And watch what will happen to your life. Honor your wife because she is your wife. Honor your husband because he is your husband. Well, you don't know what he's been doing. Well, I know God can't operate in that marriage if you won't honor him. So if you don't want God in your marriage, then stop honoring your husband, and you will have the blessing of God off you in that marriage because you won't honor that man. Dishonor your wife and use all the excuse you want to and see if any blessing comes out of that marriage for you. It won't come because you won't honor. This thing is relational. You cannot get honor where you give none, and God will not bless dishonorable people. It is the currency of the kingdom. There is a right way for me to walk into a store and walk out with goods. It's called use the currency, whatever the currency is needed. I make the purchase and I walk out and I got the goods. Otherwise, I got to walk in there like a thief and a robber and take it and hope I can get away with it and cannot have joy in whatever it is I took because I got to watch my back all the time hoping that the camera didn't pick me up, that the security camera didn't pick me up, and I ain't going to get caught for shoplifting. So what I got, I can't even enjoy because I know I stole it. But if you walk into a store with currency and they say that'll be $25.80 and you give them $25.80, then you can walk out with that item knowing that you honorably received it, you paid for it, and it is yours. God wants to bring things in your life, things that you cannot steal, things that you cannot connive and get, but they will only come through the avenue of honor. All right, here we go. Matthew 10. We're going to wrap it up. Way down in verse 40. I want to preach the whole series tonight. I've been holding on to this so long, I'm just reeling it all out right now. But watch this. We're going to wrap it up here in just a couple minutes. Watch verse 40. This is so powerful. Watch this. Matthew 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Oh, we're going to pick this up next week. He said, if you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Now notice how he's going to break it down. He said, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet and you'll reap that prophet's reward. In other words, you'll get the benefit of what that prophet was ordained by God to bring you. But if you won't honor that prophet, then you can't have what that prophet spoke of, the word, because you didn't give him any honor. You see what he's saying here? Watch this. He says, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So now notice, he first said prophet. That's a New Testament prophet is one that expounds on the word. I'm wrapping this up, but you got to get this. Technically, if you look at the hierarchy, the prophet would be you're honoring upward because he represents God. He speaks for God. He shares the word of God. He said, honor the prophet, the one that speaks the word of God, and you'll get the reward, the blessing that God has for you through that prophet. See it? Then he says, now bless the righteous man. That's your sibling. That's your neighbor. That's your peer in life. Just honor the man next to you. No matter who he is, he's your peer. Honor him. And he says, whatever's coming in his life, you receive his reward. But he doesn't stop there. Watch what he says in verse number 42. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones. Now we're talking about a child. Someone beneath you. If you'll give him a cup of water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What Jesus just said, he said, honor those above you, and you'll get the reward that's coming from above. Honor those that are beside you, and I'll bring a reward in that way. Honor those that are beneath you, and I'll even bring a reward in through them. He's saying, just live in honor. Honor all men. Don't look up and give honor, but then give none to your neighbor. Don't give honor here, but then dishonor down here. He's saying, I got a reward from above, beside, and beneath. If you'll just honor me in everything that you do. That's a big challenge for us. Amen. We'll pick it up there next week. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name above every name, Lord, we ask right now that you would show us the areas of our life where we have not honored you. Lord, I pray by your Spirit right now that you show us right now, Lord, show us where we're not honoring you. Church, I sincerely, sincerely want you to see it. Just take a few minutes right where you are. Search your heart. Take inventory. Search your life. Do you honor those in authority? Do you honor your pastor? I'm not talking about me. Maybe your pastor is somebody else. It's not about me. Do Do you honor that role that God has given the pastor in your life? Because you can't receive if you don't. Do you honor your spouse? Wives, are you honoring your husbands? Are you being honorable? Do you speak to them with honor and respect? Well, you just don't know what they speak. No, no, I didn't say none of that. Do you honor the seat they sit in as your husband? Is there respect that you give them? Or do you demean them and belittle them, especially in front of your children, which teaches your children that they should dishonor the father and dishonor those in authority? What kind of honor is in your home? Husbands, are you honoring your wife? The Bible teaches the husband to honor the wife and the wife to honor the husband. Do you honor your wife? Do you praise her? Do you speak highly of her? Do you defend her when the children get disrespectful? Do you stand your ground when the children are trying to overtake her or manipulate? Are you honoring your spouse? Are you honoring God? What's your life look like? Are you honoring God financially? Because if you're not, he can't honor you financially. Lord, show us today how that honor is the currency of your kingdom. We're challenged by your word, Lord, to honor those in authority above us, to honor those beside us, to treat every man with respect, to esteem others higher than ourselves, and to honor the least of the children that would come up to us. Every head bowed. How many of you can lift your hands and say, I got to work on this honor thing? Amen. I got my hand up. I want to pray with you. And those watching our live feed, I want to pray with you. And if you've not called on the Lord as Savior and honored him as Savior of your life, what an awesome time to do so. And we'll incorporate a prayer of honor in this as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge the areas of my life where I have not been humble, where I've not been in submission to your word, my sins, I ask forgiveness of. I ask that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And that you have all power in heaven and in earth. And right now I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. Jesus, show me the areas of my life where I'm not honoring. And I pray by your Spirit that you give me a conviction to begin to walk in honor, that your blessing might come on my life from above, beside, and beneath. In Jesus' name.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.